Amen. So tomorrow's a holiday. Yeah, what is it? Why do we have Memorial Day? Let's pray. I can't pray this for, I just cry. You live here in the United States and it just didn't happen because the wind blew. It cost greatness. I can't get through this. Shoot, who wants to pray about our armed forces and stuff? Come on, Dave Stanball, come on. You were in the armed forces. Can you pray? Give me that. Well, let's see how. I'm just going to sit with Dave. Dave served in Vietnam. I can't. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave. I'll get through this. Probably would have helped if I turned it on, but you know, I don't know. Shoo, no, that was me. All right. I have had the privilege of traveling overseas, and this is a wonderful place to live. We still pray, and we give thanks. Amen. So there's no place that's perfect except for heaven. If any time you want to take off, go ahead. It'll be perfect there. But in the meantime, you know, we're praying and we're believing for our nation and the people that serve in our nation and whatnot. So, okay, I can't see anything right now, so give me a second here. All right. So last week we started a survey. No, a series, not a survey. I usually do surveys. Okay, last week, I can do it. Okay. We started a series called How's Your Dirt? Look at your neighbor and say, how's your dirt? All right. And when we say dirt, we're referring to your ground, but really Jesus is referring to what? Your heart. So now tell your neighbor, how's your heart? All right. Now, we also asked a question last week. We said, whose responsibility is it to take care of your heart? You guys are paying attention. Some people, you know, so I was going to say, God or you, and it's your responsibility to attend to your heart, okay? God made it really clear what we were talking about, that it's your responsibility to actually do things in your life, okay? Now, I know wives tell their husbands what to do, but this is really talking about you. You're responsible. You're responsible for managing things. How about that? Managing things in your life. Like if you're married, you're responsible for managing your marriage. I love telling you about it, but really you're responsible. You're actually responsible to manage things about your job. Okay, not God, you are certain parts of this, okay? And he for sure said you need to manage your heart. You need to manage your heart, and we were calling it dirt. Take care of your dirt. Manage your heart. It is your responsibility. Praise God. Hallelujah. What? I have to do something? Yeah, you really do. You have to do some things in life, all right? Now listen. Becoming a Christian is awesome. What Jesus did for you on the cross is awesome. He died for you, paid for the ransom to set you free, and then you get to be seated in the heavenly places. Awesome. That's great. But, I love this, there's certain things he wants you to do in your life, in your dirt, in your heart. And we're going to talk about that for the next 4 weeks. Praise the Lord. Now, guess what you have, you know, when I talk about you have to maintain or maintenance of your heart, well, you have to maintain your car, right? And I told a story of a friend whose daughter didn't maintain the car. And by the way, when the red light comes on in your car, it's too late. It's too late. You should have been adding oil, right? Okay, so how about with us? How about, like, we need to do better in the things of our life to maintain our life before the red light comes on? So, why do we maintain our heart? Well, let's just say we maintain our heart because I am a sweeter person if I maintain my heart. Everybody say, oh, yeah, Pastor D, I've seen you when you weren't, right? Okay, so yeah, I am not nice if I'm not maintaining my heart. And if I maintain my heart, I'm actually a better person. How about you? Yeah, you become a better person. Can you open up to Proverbs 4, verse 23? We did the scripture last week. We're just going to go over it real quickly. So I'm kind of doing the review because I see people that weren't here. So Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Ta-da! They're going to do the Amplified. Watch over or guard. And we talked about last week, you need to guard your heart. You need to maintain it. You need to guard it. So here it is. Watch over your heart or your dirt or your ground with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. So here's what he's saying. Your heart, everything comes out of your heart. Everything comes out of your heart. Yep. Everything comes out of your heart. And now we're not talking about this physical heart that's going beat, 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 you know, and you're breathing. We're talking about your spiritual heart. And once you accept Jesus, he considers you dirt or ground, and everything's going to flow out of that, your ground or your heart. So I'm going to use these two words here, and they still mean the same thing here. Now, when you read your Bible, say, oh, yes, Pastor D, I read my Bible every day. Or you come and you hear me preach, or you listen to a podcast. Guess what happens? All of that's coming into your dirt. All of that's coming into your heart. All of that's coming into your ground. But there's a problem. There's a problem because so's everything else. So let's say today, Tuesday you get up and you read your Bible and then you go off to work. And at work, you find out they sent the orders that you shipped to the wrong part of the wrong address. And now the people are upset they didn't get it. And then so-and-so calls in and says, well, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to come in. And now you're doing their job and your job, and it's just not really pleasant. So is it possible that everything that happens in life can come in your dirt, can come in your heart as you go through the day? Right? It can start coming into your heart. So here's what's interesting. In the Old Testament, they list the word heart over 800 times. Just Old Testament. Out of those 800 times, there's over 200 times that they use the word mind, your mind, for heart. They don't say heart. They say heart, but it's really referring to your mind. They say heart, but it's referring to your mind. So over 200 times they're talking about this, right? And what happens is, I believe that your heart and your mind are really connected, and things flow out of that. Thoughts flow out of your brain. What my famous quote to my youngest child: not every thought in your brain needs come out of your mouth, Kathleen. Be quiet, okay? Because the thoughts come out. All right, everything starts flowing out. Did anybody have a kid like that? Okay. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Your thoughts, I stole this about a year ago, and I've been waiting to use it, and I can't remember who wrote it, so it's going to be the unknown author. Here we go. Write this down. Your thoughts are the father of your deeds. Your thoughts are the father, F-A-T-H-E-R, sometimes I have a Jersey accent, deeds. Okay, your thoughts are the father of your deeds. So let me explain this. When you go out and do something, and people say this to me, oh, Pastor D, I went out and bought a gallon of Fudge Ripple and I ate the whole thing by myself. And then they'll say, I just don't know what happened. Guys, not really true. Come on. It's really not true, because everything happens starts in your thoughts. You really did know what you were doing, right? I was mad at so-and-so, and I just decided I was going to eat myself to happy ice cream heaven, okay? So everything's going to flow through this, and we're going to talk about the dirt in our heart. Last week, we talked about two terminologies. We said there's good dirt and there's bad dirt. There's good dirt and there's bad dirt. And we'll say, like, somebody has a giving heart. That's good dirt. Right? That's good heart. That's a good ground. They have a good heart. They have a giving heart. They have, what else did I write down? Oh, a receiving heart. They're such a soft-hearted person. Okay. That's good dirt, and that's what God wants us to get to. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about, and we'll eventually get to good dirt. But then you can have bad dirt. And bad dirt is when you allow things into your heart, okay? And you can end up with bad dirt, right? So somebody we'd say, oh, they have an evil heart, heart and dirt. They're a wicked-hearted person. Man, I had a neighbor when I was growing up. She was wicked. Okay, I don't think her dirt was pretty good. It really was not good. So her heart, her dirt wasn't good. So you can have bad dirt. And I know you're sitting here thinking, oh, Pastor D, that's so negative. Oh, that's terrible. But listen, the good news is God never will leave you with bad dirt. He will give you a way to get your dirt better. But you all have to do things. I have to do things to my heart, okay? So there's things that I have to maintain my heart so I can have good dirt, a good heart. So I'll be nice, basically. Amen. Okay, last week, I'm just doing the review. Last week, we talked about the first ground in Mark chapter 4. The first ground that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4. And we said that ground was a path that had been walked over and walked over and walked over. So that dirt was a path that was walked over. And what happened to the dirt? It gets hard. It gets really hard. And it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says that seed was just kind of tossed and the birds came and ate it and flew away. So did anything grow in that? Nope. Okay. Then Jesus went and told that same story in Matthew chapter, 13, verse 19. He told the same parable, and he said something very key where we left off last week. He said, the reason why the seed didn't grow. Now take this. The reason why the word doesn't grow in our hearts is because we don't understand it. If we don't understand what we read, what I'm saying, it's not going to grow. So that's what Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said, the reason why the seed doesn't grow is because you just plain old don't understand it. All right. Now, if someone were to say to me, Pastor D, Jesus isn't real, I'd laugh in their face. Okay. If someone were to say to me, Pastor D, you shouldn't serve Jesus, you should serve the devil, I'd say, you're nuts, okay? You know why? I understand who Jesus is. I understand the change that's happened in my life, okay? I understand. So guess what? That seed is going to produce in my life. But listen, there was about 21 years I didn't understand who Jesus was, and I didn't understand what he did for her on the cross, and I certainly didn't understand he wanted to do something for my life. But the day came, and I have been getting more understanding of this, okay? So it's growing. Now, that doesn't mean I have times where I do the right things, I always do the wrong things. It doesn't mean I'm always thinking the right things. There are times I'm just not so sweet. But I have to do some things. I have to do some things with my dirt, with my heart, and I have to maintain it. And you guys have to maintain your heart. Everybody say, maintain your heart. Take care of your dirt. Okay. All right. Now, let me give you an example. It's not about anybody here, okay? I'm just checking. Nope, it's not about anybody here. Of someone who is not maintaining their heart. Okay, let's pretend there's a lady and she's 50 years old and her kids just got her on Facebook. And man, she is pounding Facebook. She's on Facebook and she's finding all her high school old friends. All right. And then she starts going back and forth with this guy. Okay, talking to him on Facebook, doing that whole thing. And the reason why she picked this guy, because she used to date him in high school. He took her to prom, and he was just, oh, so awesome. All right? Now, and by the way, his picture on Facebook, he looks awesome. All right? So she's doing this whole thing on Facebook. Now, if you're married, if that lady's married, guess what? She's not supposed to be doing that. And if you're maintaining your heart, guess what? I'm not going to do that. oh, Pastor D, you're just making rules. You make everybody follow rules. I can do whatever I want. Yep, you can. You can do whatever you want in life. All right? But, I love the buts today. But listen to this. Jesus said, if you do that, you're going to have some problems. But you can do that, all right? Now, you can have those problems and you can say, oh, you know, my kids are all grown. I've been married to this man and he's fat and he's bald. And this guy, the old boyfriend from Facebook, he looks so good. I'm just going to leave him because I found Ronnie on Facebook. Okay? All right. Now, listen, the maintenance of your heart says there's certain things you don't do. Matter of fact, better yet, certain thoughts you don't entertain, right? You don't do that. Those thoughts, because it really started up here, right? All righty. So, by the way, if I could tell you all the people I've counseled that just did what I said, you'd be going, sorry, sorry, sorry. All right? With Facebook. Okay. Moving on to happy subjects. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Amen, Pastor D. All right. So, we have to do things with our dirt. We have to do things with our heart. Alrighty, and it's not whatever's going to be, you know, I went to the grocery store and I ran across this old friend and now I'm going to go hang out with him. Yes, you can, but if that old friend doesn't know Jesus and you're going to start hanging with them like you used to hang with them way back in high school, that's not what God wants, all right? As a matter of fact, how about God put that person in your life so you can tell them what Jesus has done in your life? Has Jesus done anything in your life? Let me tell you, I am a different person than I was way back in the day, running around doing all those things, okay? So when someone says, well, you know, God put that person in my life, I don't think so for running around. I think God put that person in your life so you can tell them what God's done in your life, all right? So we're talking about dirt. Open up to Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about the second dirt that Jesus talks about, the second ground that Jesus talks about here. Mark chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Praise the Lord, Pastor D. So my son this morning went out really late, and then at 3:30, because I know I looked at my clock, he decided to get up and go to the bathroom. But we had all the windows open, so when he opened up the door, smash, boom. And I've been awake since 3:30 with a lot of coffee. So hang on to your seatbelts. Feel like getting, whoo, got coffee going here. I did consider one of his Red Bulls, but I thought that would be not good. So I didn't do a Red Bull, all right? But anyway, just telling you how I feel today. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Here we go. The other seed, this is the second seed Jesus is talking about, fell on rocks where there was not much soil. And immediately a plant sprang up because the soil had no depth. And when the sun came up, the plant was scorched. And because it had no root, it dried up and withered away. Now, you got to remember, Jesus is telling his disciples this and a whole bunch of other people. And his disciples, this is the first time they've heard this. They're not like y'all that were in my children's ministry and you've seen me act this out, all right? And it's not like you've watched somebody else tell this story and you would go, Pastor D, I already know this. I understand this. These guys are listening to this to the first time and they're like, huh? So Jesus goes and interprets and tells them what it really means, all right? So we're going to read verses 16 and 17. In a similar way, in the second group, there are ones on whom the seed was sown on rocky ground, who when they heard the word, immediately, woo, receive it with joy, woohoo, but accept it only superficially. And then they have no root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. Let me talk about endure. Guys, this is not a sprint in life with Jesus. I get saved, woohoo! I read my Bible once, woohoo! It didn't work, woohoo! I quit. Okay? That's a sprint. Just everything fast and it's over with. This is a journey that we endure and we serve the Lord, and it's a walk. It's a long walk. All right? And by the way, when you read the Word, and you read the Word, it gets planted, and it grows, and it takes time to grow. So again, this is a long journey. It's not, I did it once, it didn't work, okay? So I just thought I'd point out that word endure for a little while. Let's read the rest of it. They endure only for a little while, and when trouble, everybody say trouble. Yeah. When trouble or persecutions come, why do trouble and persecutions come? What does it say? Because of the word. Okay, because of the word. Now listen, it's not because the devil's after you. You're so special, he's after you. Nope, the devil is after stealing the word out of your heart, stealing the word from your dirt. He wants to steal it because if he can steal the word out of you, there's nothing that's going to grow. You're not going to produce any fruit, okay? So that's why he tries to steal the word. Ah, glory, glory. All right, verse 18. Immediately they are offended. Everybody say offended. Oh, say it again. Offended, offended, offended. Okay, they are offended and displeased at being associated with me, meaning Jesus, and they stumble and fall away. They stumble and fall away. They stumble and they fall away. Okay. Guys, when you're a believer and you're associated with Jesus, guess what? You're not supposed to get offended. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not supposed to get offended. Ah, this is going to be good, Pastor D. You're not supposed to get offended and get bothered. Now, everybody smile. Okay? You're not supposed to get offended. All right? Now, I've entitled this message, so I got a little spot right here. Title of the message. Go ahead and write it down. Don't go, grow. Don't go, grow. Everybody say that. Don't go, grow. Say it again. Don't go, grow. I'm going to have you say that a whole bunch of times. You're going to be sick and tired of saying it, but you're going to get it by the end of the day. So just get ready to say it. All right. Now, the reason why I entitled it, Don't Go, Grow, because this last part said, immediately they were offended and displeased at being associated with me, and they stumbled and they fell away. Okay? So they ran away. They ran away. I'm going to walk away from Jesus. You know why? Because they got offended. They got offended. All righty. How many of you know somebody that's ever been offended? How many of you know somebody who right now is offended? All right. All right. Pretty sure everybody knows somebody that's offended. Raise your hand if you know somebody that has been, is, or was. Okay. Everybody knows somebody that's offended. And of course, it wasn't moi, right? Right? Okay. So we're going to talk about offense, this offense thing. It is big. All right. But before I do, open up to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I'm going to give you a good scripture. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 165. 119, 165. Great peace have they who love the law, or the word of God. Everybody say, I love the word of God. Okay, I love the word of God. So great peace have they who love the law. Nothing, I'm going to say that one, nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. So guys, if you have received Jesus Christ, you're called a follower, you're called a Christian, you're called a believer, guess what? We're not supposed to have offense. We're not supposed to allow offense. We're not supposed to allow offense, okay? And now I will tell you, I know that. It is easier said than done. It is easier. I know I'm not supposed to be offended with the certain person that said blah, blah, blah. I know that. But you know what I found out as I get older? It's not any easier. Not being offended. Okay? So I don't care if you're young or you're old. Okay? We get offended. All right? we have a fence come on top of us. We have a fence come on top of us, but it's how we handle a fence. It's how we handle it. And we're going to talk a whole bunch about that. All right. How many of you have heard of John Bevere? Amazing book. He wrote this book called The Bait of Satan. Actually, he's got a newer edition with a different cover. Okay, The Bait of Satan. Anybody read this? Anybody watched it? Oh my golly, you guys need to get this. I have it on DVD. You can borrow it, okay? For $1 million. No, I'll let you borrow it. Basically, in this book, you know what he talks about? Offense. Offense. Talks about offense the whole way through, all right? And I'm going to quote something. He says, the enemy, Satan, tries to bait all of us with offense. We get offended on our job. We get offended in our marriage. We get offended with our kids. We get offended with our mom. We get offended in church. What? Yes. Okay. Now, in his book, he wrote this, and this one's worth writing down. The devil's number one attack, numero uno. Number one attack on, he says, the church, it's called Christians, followers, it's us. The devil's number one attack on us, is offense. The number one attack that he likes to attack us is with offense. Yep, smiling pretty here. Okay. So, he also wrote, when you deal with offense in your life, you position yourself to step into your destiny. When you deal with offense in your life, you position yourself to jump into your destiny. So, in other words, if you want to get to the place, the destiny that God has for you, you can't be sitting in a pile of offense. You can't. You are not going to get to the good place that God has for you if you're offended with people. Amen, Pastor D. That is awesome, on fire, good stuff. All right, I'm going to read you the definition of offense. Ready? Offense, a stick for bait or a trap, generally a snare, this is in the Greek, a stumbling block, an offense. The trigger of a trap, the mechanism closing the trap down on the unsuspecting victim, figuratively, an offense, putting a negative cause and an effect in a relationship into motion. Okay. All of that was a whole lot of words, but let me simply say this. Offense is probably the greatest tool that Satan uses in our lives to keep us going in good places. The good places God has. God is good. He only has good things for you. But man, that's just the way he likes to attack. If you want to, taking notes, write this down. There are God-ordained ties. Okay, I'm going to explain this here. There are God-ordained ties that God has for you and me. There are God-ordained ties. Okay, and I'll give you an example in a minute, but I want to say this, and the enemy knows it, and he wants to break these ties apart with offense. Okay, God-ordained ties, marriage, right? Everybody agree with me? It's called a marriage covenant. It's a God-ordained tie. If you're married, it's a God-ordained tie. Look at you, if your spouse is here, this is God-ordained, okay? Now, the thing about this is God-ordained tie, this marriage, and the devil will do everything in his power to just blow it up, break it up, right? Right? Okay? So, usually, God puts opposites together. And the thing that you love just drives you crazy after 2 years. All right? And really, so maybe people say ladies talk. I have been around more men that talk more than me. Okay, so yeah. So maybe the guy's a big talker and the lady's a quieter one. Okay? And you love that about each other. But about year two, Satan's just going to try to undo the ties. Man, he never shuts up, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so, we won't go there. But let's just say, if you're married, this is a God-ordained tie. Amen. God ordained it, tied you together, okay? Look at Psalm 66. I'm going to give you a good scripture here. They're all good. Psalm 66, 12. So this is a God-ordained tie. and I'm going to talk about a couple more. Okay, this is God ordained, and it's supposed to stay together, but Satan wants to pull it apart, right? God ordained. Psalm 66:12. It says, I still hear pages flipping. That's okay. Say amen when I get there. Amen. Okay. Psalm 66:12. But thou, it's talking to God. It's talking like, but thou, O God, but thou, I'm trying to remember. Okay, thou hast. Okay, there we go. But thou, God, brought us out into a wealthy place. What? Where are y'all? All right. Where's the first part? Huh? Okay, just check. This is in the this is in the King James Version. Okay, here we go. I don't know why it's not there. Here we go. But God, okay, let me back up. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, they weren't obeying God in the Old Testament too well. So all these calamities were coming in their life because they weren't obeying God, all right? Now, this is Old Covenant. People were just stomping all over them. They ended up in slavery. And then they decided to follow the things that God said to do. And this is what they said. But thou, O God, brought us into a wealthy place. So finally, because they're obeying God, God brought them into a wealthy place. If you're taking notes, write down a wealthy place. Now, you're laying on your chaise lounge in the back, and you're thinking, what is a wealthy place? Well, number one, it's a good place, a wealthy place. It's a well-watered place. It's a safe place. It's a great place. But listen what it also says. Here, listen to this. I believe that when God has got you in God-ordained ties and you are following after him, you will be in your wealthy place. Okay? You should be happy. Okay, so, God's ordained ties, and when you get into the wealthy place God wants you to be, it's cool, it's great, it's wonderful. But if you've got a fence going on and you're like just upset with everybody, stressed out with everybody, you may have a God ordained tie, but you are not sitting in the wealthy seat. Okay, you're not sitting in that wealthy place. All right, example, here we go. You were believing for this job. I want this job. God, I know this is the job for me. God, I thank you for your favor. You go in and my application gets on the top of the page here. And God gets you this job. Woohoo! You're so excited. God got me this job, alrighty? So this job now is your wealthy place. Okay? You're in your wealthy place. This is the job you believed for, God gave to you. Okay? But you have to stop saying, then, if this is your wealthy place, you need to stop saying, you know, everybody I work with is such a bunch of idiots. My boss is a jerk. Okay? Alrighty? All right, you got to stop saying that. You have to stop getting offended. Offended in this place, this wealthy place that God got you into, and you're offended. You got to stop getting offended and quitting the job, and next month you got another job, and then you get offended and you go get another job, and next month you don't like what someone said to you because your boss said, hey, by the way, you're late again, and then you get offended and you quit that job. Okay, this was supposed to be your wealthy place. I like wealthy places. All right, look at Psalm 92, verse 13. I'll give you another wealthy place thing here. Better yet, I'm going to give you another God-ordained tie. All right? God-ordained tie. So first off, I believe that marriage is a God-ordained tie. Amen. Praise God. And you're not supposed to break it, but it's a God-ordained tie. The second one, all right, I believe that a God-ordained tie is a church family. Church. Write that down. Church is a God-ordained tie. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Wealthy place, huh? Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, a church body, they're going to flourish. All right? So, if you're going to be in a wealthy place, okay, God's going to place you in a place, a church, okay? and God's going to place you there, and he wants you to go there, and he wants you to flourish there. It's a wealthy place, but if you're always offended, and believe me, you can get offended with Christians. Are you kidding me? Oh yeah, baby, just wait 10 seconds. Someone will say something, okay? All right, so listen to this. If you're really going to be in a wealthy place, God will place you in a church, and your roots will go down, and it's the church that he wants you to. And so if it's a wealthy place, it's the place that God placed you in, then you are not going to get offended. You're not going to get offended. And I have to commend a bunch of you. You have been here from the beginning of time. I don't even remember when we started this church. It's 32 years ago. Some of you have been here just so long. And I want to say thank you, thank you. It's absolutely amazing, because I am pretty sure I have offended a bunch of you. And I know Jack did. If more than I did, okay? And it's amazing that you've stayed. It really is amazing. Okay? But you know what I believe? I believe that God placed you here. Okay? I believe God placed you here, and I believe it's your wealthy place. And you're saying, I'm staying. I'm not going to get offended when somebody says something. I'm not going to get upset when they don't give me this or treat me this way, because I know this is a God-ordained tie, and this house is my wealthy place. So I'm staying. Can't get rid of me. Tough. Some of you have been here as long as I have. All right. Praise the Lord. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Wealthy place. So I just toss that out. Find your wealthy place. Praise the Lord. Write this down if you're taking notes. Justified hurt. Justified hurt never justifies offense. I love that one. This should go on your mirror. This should go on your desk at work. Already? Justified hurt never justifies offense. So yeah, you justifiably got hurt. Your husband said this to you. Your wife didn't do this when she said this. Okay, yes, you justifiably got hurt. Right? It happened. But you can't be justified in offense. You are not allowed to hold that. That's what that means. Okay? You are not. All righty. So let's talk about offense. Such a good topic. Now, if you're not a Christian or if you're not a follower, I get it. I get you. No big deal. But if you are a believer, if you've received Jesus Christ, if you said, Jesus, I'd like you to come into my life. I give you my heart, and I will serve you. I will love you, and I thank you to have work in my life. If you're one of those, guess what? I'm going to give you four things you need to know about offense. Four things you need to know about offense. Number one, offenses are inevitable. Jesus said that. Offenses are inevitable. Offenses are inevitable. Turn over to Matthew 18:7. Matthew 18:7. Offenses are inevitable. Right? Jesus said, whoa. Everybody say whoa. Whoa to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but whoa to the man whom the offenses come. So you know what he's saying? Guys, offenses are going to come. You can't help it. That's just what it's going to happen. As long as there's two people on the earth, we're going to have offenses, okay? All righty. But he says, the person who's always offending them, whoa, to that person who's always causing offense. Is that way you read that? Uh-huh. He says, whoa. Now, God's going to deal with them. He's not going to send Vinny to take care of him. But God will deal with their heart. God will deal with their heart. God will start showing them that what they're doing is not pleasing to him. All right? So Jesus says, woe to the world because offenses, and offenses are going to come. Now, look up the word woe. I'm going to give you the definition, woe. You used to say that, and I'm like, woe, woe horses, woe, woe amazing. No, no, no. Woe means this, grievous. Woe means grievous. That's not a good thing. Woe means distressed. That's not a good thing. Woe means affliction or trouble. Those aren't good things, all right? So the reason why he uses the word woe, is because offense is not fun. Woe is not fun, okay? Woe is not fun. How about this? You get in, there's an offense, and you hold on to it really tight. And you go to bed at night, and you're just thinking about this. And you wake up in the morning, and you're holding on, still holding on to that offense. You're stressed out, okay? You got trouble in your brain. You got trouble sleeping. Okay, so offense is a whoa, right? Whoa. All righty. Now, praise the Lord. Everybody say, don't go. Grow. Don't go. Grow. Don't go and get offended. All right, we're going to talk about the grow. So point number two, write this down. Turn offenses into something you grow from. Turn offenses into something you grow from. Thanks, guys. Good job. Yeah, I love it. There's so many. Every once in a while, I turn around. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. By the way, I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. We bought a new one of these so that the letters will be brighter. And what's happened, what's it called, the crystal? The crystal is dying. And it was actually beneficial to buy a new one. So if anybody likes to get on, how many feet? Benny, how tall is that to there? We want you on the ladder if you love it. Okay, we're going to have to do, Lane, you can do scaffolding or ladder. Anything you want to do. Okay, so go see Lane if you have scaffolding, but we have to get up high. And then we found out, oops, the mount isn't going to work on the new one. Okay, so we're shopping, but next week or so. So talk to Lane if you like scaffolding, you have scaffolding, you have access to free scaffolding, and we're going to get the new one up here. Praise the Lord. Okay. Back on track. Ready? Number two, turn offenses into something you grow from. Don't go grow. Okay. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Great guy. Old Testament guy, right? Well, there's a whole bunch of chapters written about Joseph, right? Everybody know a little bit about Joseph? Okay. So Joseph was a teenager and he has this dream. And the dream is his family's going to bow down to him. So he runs to his mom and dad. Mom and dad! And his brothers, hey boys, guess what? I had a dream. By the way, he's the youngest. And he's telling his mom and dad and his brothers, hey, I had a dream. Y'all are going to bow down to me. How do you think that went over? Not good. Okay. It didn't go over very good at all. Matter of fact, his dad even said, tone it down, buddy. Just hold your horses. Okay. So then we have his brothers. They're out in the wilderness. And they see Joseph walking towards him, and they go, let's just kill him. How's that for flesh and blood? You think you've got like a dysfunctional family, man, all right? Okay, so they're sitting there, they're gonna kill him. But praise God, one of the brothers says, no, don't kill him. Let's just sell him. Let's sell him into slavery, okay? So he gets sold, and he ends up in Potiphar's house. I'm giving you the fast Cashman version. He gets sold into Potiphar's house, and he becomes a slave there. And Potiphar has this wife, and she just looked at Joseph, and she goes, oh, my gosh, he's so hot. Okay, I want him. And she goes chase him after him, and Joseph runs out of there because he wasn't going to sin, So then she's a woman scorned. Okay, so she says, oh, he was trying to go after her, and he ends up in jail, right? He ends up in jail. While he's in jail, he has runs into these two guys. The baker and the butcher. No, the butler. The butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. I always mess that up. The baker and the butler. Okay, the baker and the butler, and he gets thrown into jail. Now, it's really interesting, while he's thrown in jail, in the midst of his troubles, God exalts him to this position of actually running the jail. And, that's amazing. He must have been not complaining, and God exalted him. He's running the jail. All righty? Okay, so meanwhile, he's back in the jail, and he tells the butler and the baker. I remember that. The butler and the baker. Hey, listen, when you guys get out, please remember I'm down here. So finally he gets out and he's in working for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph now has the second highest position. You got Pharaoh and we got Joseph. Okay, we got Pharaoh and Joseph. Okay, so pick up your story. Turn over to Genesis chapter 50. That was the short Cashman version. Here we go. Genesis 50, verse 19. So Joseph has got this super high position, and now his brothers show up, who he hasn't seen in a coon's age, right? And they come to Egypt because there's a famine in the land, and they want to buy food for their families, all right? Genesis 50, verse 19. Genesis 50, verse 19. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. You know what that means? I'm in my wealthy place. Joseph's in the place of God, the wealthy place, right? All right. Now, it's interesting. He's in the place of God, the wealthy place, even though he had all this crud happen to him for years and years and years. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm in the place of God. I'm in the wealthy place. All righty. Now, verse 20, let's go. But as for you, he's talking about his brothers. He's giving them a mama pointing finger. But for you all, okay, but for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Okay, doesn't that sound like Romans 8:28? Anybody know what that is? It says, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called to his purpose. Okay, so what these guys meant for evil, God meant for good. The wealthy place. Alrighty. Now, can I just tell you something? God doesn't put you in a place. He doesn't put you in a place so you can be miserable. He doesn't. But he will put you in a place so you can grow, bear fruit, and learn a bunch of things. All right? He'll put you there so you can grow. Alrighty. Now, Joseph said, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives. Verse 21. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them as he spoke kindly. Okay. Question. Here you go. I'm going to toss this out. Put your seatbelts on. What if the offense that's come in your life is really... you got to hear me the right way. A test to build your character. The teenage kid, Joseph, and where he was second in command, I think his character grew. Don't you think? Sure did, okay? So what if it's a test about your character and what you're going to do in the middle of the test? All right. So are you going to be telling everybody that's so and so? I am so offended. You know, then you go to the next person. They're always doing this. And you know what you really do in your test that you're not really passing is you start building a case. So I run to Kathy and I tell her what happened. Oh my gosh, Kathy, you can't believe what she said to me. I am so offended. Kathy, oh yeah. And then I run over here. Oh, Bob, I got to get a guy. Bob, can you believe how they treated me? Oh my gosh. And I should have just quit. And Bob's like, oh yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so what am I doing? I'm building a case. Anybody ever build a case? Oh, sorry to say, I have. Okay, so I'm building a case. And listen, but what if God wants you to grow in this place? He always wants you to grow. It's not a what if, okay? He always wants you to grow, all right? In the midst of what you're going through, God wants you to grow. And I can tell you, in some of the stinkinest things people have said, after I finished building my case and I repented, and I start hearing from God, and he's reminding me what he put inside of me was love, and love is patient, and love is kind, and love doesn't hold aught. And he reminded me all of that, and I decided I think I'll try all that. And you know what? I started growing. Anybody ever grow? Yeah. Okay. So everybody say, don't go, grow. Don't go, grow. All right. Point number, what are we up to? Three. Nope, I'm not quite ready to do that. Let me do something else here. Really? We're up to point three. Okay. Did I miss a page? All right. Okay. So if there's offense to come, and Jesus says, it's inevitable. You're going to get offense. People are going to do things and say things. So when offense comes, this is telling me that I need to stay in my job. I need to stay with that man you gave me. I need to stay in the church you placed me. I need to stay in the place, all right? You need to stay in the place because I'm going to grow. All righty. All right, I'm going to draw. Here we go. Can you all? Okay, here we go. So here we go. Let's just draw. Pastor D, just draw. All right, so this here is dirt. Dirt, 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 dirt. All right? And over here, I have a whole bunch of rocks, stones. Just the whole thing. Oh, my gosh, I've got rocks all over in my dirt. I've got rocks right in here, okay? And, okay, let's go all the way down here. Okay, okay. So I have this plant that I planted, and instead of getting nice and flourishing, it's like hanging over. It's wilting. It's down here. It's just looking sad. This is my plant. It was supposed to be Shasta daisies because I like them. Okay. So I have a little bit of dirt, and I have a whole lot of stones. And guess what? It's not growing. My plant is not growing because I have a little bit of dirt, and I got a whole lot of rocks, stones, and the roots are not going to go down. They're not going to grow. They're not going to grow down so this thing can grow because I got a little bit of dirt and I got a whole lot of rocks. Okay, now what if I'd get rid of all these rocks, got rid of these rocks, and I put some real good Miracle-Gro dirt in here, just filled it all up with this good dirt. Oh, man, good dirt, Miracle-Gro, okay? Guess what would happen to my plant? Boing, it'd just be like this. It'd just be looking so pretty, right? I've done this. I do know what I'm talking about. Okay. So Jesus is saying, let me get right here. I want to say, all righty. The reason why these stones roll all over here is because we are offended. The reason why there were all those stones, those rocks in the dirt, is because we hold on to a fence. And when we hold on to a fence, things don't flourish in our life. We will not be in the wealthy place. You are not going to be in the wealthy place. So if you are living in offense with this person and that person, okay, I'm offended with my husband. He did this. I'm offended with my wife. She did this. I'm offended with my boss. I'm offended with Pastor D. Golly. All right. You will live in offense. And you are not going to flourish in relationships. You won't flourish in your body because it affects your body also, okay? Until you get rid of the rocks. Until you get rid of the offense. Until you get in the offense, okay? And then you'll start to flourish. Pastor D, really? Yep, I'm telling you. So, number three, ready? This is how, how do I get rid of it? Here's number three. Okay. Guess what? Being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. I actually choose to be offended. It's a choice. It's a choice. Okay? All right. So, Proverbs 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook transgression. So he's saying a wise man, a wise woman, they're slow to become angry, and they're known. Everybody knows that they don't mess with transgression. And you know what that word transgression means? Offense. So a wise person, a smart guy, a smart girl, number one, they don't get angry. They're slow to get angry, let's say this. And they're known that they don't get stuck in offense. They don't hold on to offense. So how many of you are smart? Yes, I'm smart. All righty. Now, how many of you have heard the expression, water off. Say that word. Water off a duck's back. That should be us. The offense is coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm just going to let it slide off of me. Okay? You need to let it slide off of you. Because everybody has opportunities to be offended. Right? Okay. I especially husband and wives. So you, I live by myself and occasionally kids go floating in and stuff. I have still tons of opportunities to be offended, but I'm just going to let it slide off my back, right? Slide off her back. All righty. And you know what you have to write? You have to go, I refuse to be offended. I don't care that Margie said that. I just refuse to be offended. Okay. That's how you have to, you got to get that in your heart. Now, write down these two scriptures. Ephesians 4:6, it says, be angry and do not sin. All right, just write Ephesians 4:26. You can write it out. And James 1:19, be slow to anger. How many of you know when you get angry, you're usually offended? And if I am angry, I will be offended. And if you cause me to get angry, I'm going to get offended. Let's just face it, you fall into that, right? So if you get angry, you get offended. Now, anger, guess what, is not a sin. It's not a sin. And God talks about a righteous anger, but, listen to this, but, it's what you do with it. If you don't do the right thing. By the way, cussing at your people is not the right thing. Throwing frying pans at somebody is not the right thing. Or lamps. Or refusing to talk to them. Okay? That's not the right thing. No names mentioned. Okay? You can just imagine. Alrighty. Anger's not a sin when you do the right thing with it. Okay? Anger's not a sin. It's when you do the right thing. Hey, if you're writing notes, taking notes, write this down. Okay, this is a good one. I'm going to act it out. Here we go. Between the moment you get offended and the response, there's this in-between place, okay? Between the moment and the response, there's a power to choose. Okay, the moment that you did this to me, you said this to me, that moment till I get over here and I have the response. I'm not talking to you. That's it. I quit. I'm never coming back. All right. From the moment the offense came, there's this middle place and it's the power to choose. Listen, guys, God gives us all the power to choose. You have the power to choose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has done everything for everybody. He took your sins. He paid the ransom. He's done it. But listen, you have the power to choose. He's not going to make you, okay? You have the power to choose. Same thing. The moment Vanessa just ticks me off till I'm ready just to tell that girl, I'm going to stand here and I have the power to choose. Okay? I love Vanessa, I love Vanessa, I love Vanessa, la, 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 la. Okay. All righty. So everybody say, don't go grow. Don't go and get offended, grow. All right, last one. Offense is forgivable. Offense is forgivable. All right? Offense is forgivable. Now, if you're the person and someone has offended you, and you can't even look them in the eye. Stinking Frank, I can't believe I'm not even going to look at him. Okay? He did this. Okay, if you're the person that's offended and you can't look them in the eye, or I was thinking the mall, but we have outside malls. But I'm ready to walk into the shop, and then I see Frank, and I'm like, that's it. I'm going to run out and go to another store because I'm offended with him. Okay? All right. If you're offended, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it, okay? Offense is forgivable. And guess what? It takes faith to forgive. It takes faith to forgive. And if you think you're waiting for this warm feeling so I can forgive first, I'm still waiting. I have never had the warm, gushy feeling I'm just going to forgive them. Never. Are you kidding me? All right. It starts with first faith. And faith says, Father God, I forgive Frank in Jesus' name. And sometimes you're like teeth gritting, Father God, I forgive that man in Jesus' name. All right. You start in faith. And sometimes you'll have to say that. And I've had opportunities where I was just offended and I would see that person over and over. Sometimes I'd just be thinking about them and I would say it again. Father God, I forgave that person in Jesus' name. I forgave them. I forgave them. I forgave them. And you know, sometimes a short time later, sometimes a long time later, the warm fuzzies came. All right. But offense is forgivable and it starts by faith. It's not a feeling. But if you got the feeling, give out lollipops, okay? It starts by faith. All right, turn over to Mark 11:25, or they'll just pop it up. Let me read it real quick, because, wow, I'm just going to read it. Go ahead. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, forgive him. Forgive her, okay? If you have aught, offense against somebody, forgive. Ready? For that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. I can't tell you a story how many times I've stood in church. Me, I've stood in church and I know there's something. Dang it. That man on the way to church, referring to Jack, okay? So even though I'm singing, I've got, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, ho, 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 jumping, clapping, 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 okay? And I look like on the outside. But you know what? I don't tell you how many times I've been on the inside where I know I got to deal with that. I knew there was an offense. I knew there was unforgiveness. Nobody else ever did that, right? Y'all come to church all squeaky clean? Good for you. Good for you. Okay. I'm praying for all of you when you leave today. And I'm believing that God's going to deal with your hearts. That you will, when you know, I got to deal. I got this unforgiveness, okay? I got to get this right. I'm really praying because God has a wealthy place for you to have, to be in. And when you're holding on to unforgiveness and offense, you're not sitting in the right place, okay? By the way, one of the definitions for forgiveness is let it go. Let it go. Yeah. Is that from Frozen? Okay. Let it go. Okay. So, question, why don't we let it go? Well, that's what we want to do, but why don't people let it go, okay? Because I don't want to let you off the hook, all right? I'm not going to let you off the hook, okay? And, you know, the really funny part about that is when I don't let it go and I'm in unforgiveness and I am ticked off and offended with you, Scott over here, he's happy as a lark. He's playing golf. He's not hurting, but I'm the only one that's hurt. You know, half the time they don't even know what's going on in your life. They're like, what? Okay. And then the other part of the time is that you look at them and their life is flourishing. Okay. You know why? Because they asked God to forgive them. They got rid of all their rocks and they're flourishing, but you are holding on to offense. What somebody did to you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and they're living a great life, but you're not flourishing. So my prayer for you all is the Lord will start dealing with you. Sometimes y'all have your past cleaned up, but as the days come, as soon as you feel stinker, all right, the Lord will just deal with you. Oh, you're about ready to hold on to that and then to react. You got the power to choose. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. By faith, I'm going to forgive them. And I am going to flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, it is time to let go. It's time to grow. Amen. Amen. All right, wrapping up. Last week I gave you an assignment. Anybody remember what it was? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17, 18, and 19. Say it about yourself. Say it for your friends. Say it for your family. Okay? Say it every day for the whole time we're doing this series. Say it for every day. Now, I got to give you something to do. So you're going to do this every day for 4 weeks, but this one you're just going to do this week. Identify any offenses you might have. Identify any offenses you might have, okay, and let it go. Forgive. Now, if I'm walking by and I can't look you in the eye, I got offense, right? That's like the easiest one. Okay, the times that Jack and I would have an argument and we'd say, I forgive you, but I would hang on that side of the bed and he would hang on that side of the bed. Anybody ever do that? And never the twain shall meet? Guess what? I was still in offense, okay? And I did not sleep good. That guy slept. Just amazing. He really got a forgiveness really good. Amen. Okay. Can I tell you, when I teach this, it's because I care about your life. And I want you to know that God cares about your life. And if you're hurting because you're holding this stuff, you just go to him. Father God, this is too big for me. I just toss it in your lap. I'm doing this by faith. God, I want to be in a place, the place, the wealthy place where I can have all the, just live a better life. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hey, let's just pray and I'll let you out of here. Praise the Lord. Everybody just close your eyes for a second. Just a second. Don't go to sleep. Ready? All right. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather in this place, to gather in with this church family, Father. Just thank you for that opportunity. I thank you, Father, that the opportunity to share your word, Father, that light has come into our hearts, and that, Father, that you would continue as the weeks go to show us those places that where we've got too many stones in our dirt, and we just cast them out, and so that we can flourish, and that we hear your voice as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my favorite part, eyes closed one more time, praise the Lord. Hey, if you're here today and you'd say, hey, Pastor D, my life isn't what it's supposed to be with God. I know I am far from God. Matter of fact, I think I'm on a different planet. And I, you know what I want to tell you? That's okay. God loves you. God loves you. And if you'd say, and you're saying, Pastor D, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know I want to be, but I don't know how to get there. Well, let me just tell you, it's really easy. You say with your mouth. You give God permission to come into your life and you say, God, I give you my life. So if there's anybody here, just by raising your hand, no one's looking around. I'm not going to make you run up and fall on the floor or anything like that. Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I want to have a fellowship. I want to have a relationship. I want to have God and I want to receive all that Jesus has for me. If anybody, just raise your hand. Anybody? Praise the Lord. So you'll say this for the, okay, praise the Lord. I see that hand. Praise God. Thank you. Anybody else? You'd say, Pastor D, I'm just tired. I'm tired of just doing this. It's not working. And I just want to say, come to me, Lord.